Here we are on the doorstep of Pentecost, 7 Sabbaths and the 50th day tomorrow. Where should our minds be focused? Pentecost, the birthday of the New Testament Church of God, how does that impact us today, some 2,000 years later? On that momentous day in Jerusalem, the Spirit came down dramatically on the brethren as flames of fire. Quoting from the book of Acts 2, verse 1, quote several verses here, you can turn if you like, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what were these other tongues? We'll see more about that later as we proceed to understand all the gifts of the Spirit. The tongues is just one. This happening on the day of Pentecost meant that the Holy Spirit was now available to all converted, baptized Christians, no matter what their background, and that same Spirit is still available to you and me here today. It's a great gift of power, love, and sound-mindedness. If you open this gift box, you'll discover at least 9 other gift boxes inside. Don't you love it when you open a present and there's another present inside? 9 of them. These 2 are available to you and me. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 12:1, and we'll look at these boxes and inside each one individually. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Dropping down to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Here now are the diversities of gifts. Continue in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another a different kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And we touched on that with our reading passages there in Acts 2. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as God wills. Let's go back and sift through each of these gifts individually to see how they can benefit us. None of us have all the gifts individually, but all of us in fellowship with one another can have access to all of them. As we go through these gifts, think of which ones you might have and which ones you might want to fellowship with a brother in truth to share, you to them, them to you, and which gift you might seek to acquire. So among ourselves, we can fellowship with one another and share the gifts that our brother might have that we don't. The first gift here in 1 Corinthians 12 is wisdom. And I'll refer to James 1 verse 5. You don't have to turn there. It's just one short verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is the first gift of the Spirit, wisdom. James 1:5, and we can ask of God. Let's look at someone who received this gift of wisdom in manifold abundance. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. You might want to turn there as I read about Solomon and what was given to him. 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 7, on that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king." So God was pleased with what he asked there. Verse 12, "Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." The kingdom's coming, and I wonder if Christ's kingdom will not excel Solomon's there in the wisdom. But God knows how to pile on the wisdom that he'll need in the world tomorrow. What would it be like to receive such an abundance of wisdom? James 3, verse 17. I'll read from there. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So these fruits, you can't try to manufacture them or make it look like you have them, because the last one says without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you were trying to make people believe you had these gifts of wisdom and did not, you would be a hypocrite. May God grant us all a fuller measure of wisdom. Now the second gift, knowledge. With the Bible and other great books and literature, there's much to know. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us, "Of making many books, there's no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." Your children getting out for the semester break can appreciate that. "Unless maybe you or someone nearby has the gift of knowledge." Now in Genesis 2:17, we're even warned, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So knowledge for knowledge's own sake is not good. One needs the gift of God's Spirit to know what is beneficial and what is not. Now, I love nature and science material, but most of it is presented from the perspective of godless evolution or mere human understanding. Yet we are able to take a step back and keep God in the picture. When the material tells me that evolution gives the remarkable hummingbird the powers to hover in midair and even fly backwards, I see God the Creator, not evolution. Knowledge of history is best understood in the context of prophecy and not mere happenstance. For instance, the progression of peoples throughout the world makes more sense when you know the prophecies of God, including Abraham and his offspring. This you can read about in Genesis 49. It tells the traits and ID of Israel's sons. With this as background, you can better follow the track of history. Things get confusing with Iraq and Iran and Syria, and it's good to go back and look at the sons of Israel and where they've been and what God promised them and where they are today. So that helps you sort out knowledge. There are many other wells of knowledge, science, math, technology, art, music. This you can read about in Genesis. Nope. The gift of knowledge helps us comprehend such treasures to the glory of God. Pray for the gift of knowledge to draw from these wells available to us. Now, gift number three here from 1 Corinthians 12, faith. Let's turn to the faith chapter, Hebrews, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It takes faith to understand what's here was made from things that were not visible. Dropping down to verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So all of us need this gift of faith from God. Now, I'm hoping to build a new house someday. Soon, perhaps, I hope. We live on 25 acres and have plenty of room to build, but we do not have plenty of funds yet. We're still saving up. But I know that God exists. He's aware of our needs, and he will answer our prayers, either by granting us a new home or by blessing our existing one and keeping it in service even longer. We all live by faith. Things not seen. My house is not seen yet, but I ask in faith. Gift number four, gifts of healings from 1 Corinthians 12. Here I'll read an example of Jesus healing a woman and Jairus' daughter. This from the book of Mark 5. I'm reading from Mark 5 and verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged Jesus earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Then she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? How can we know? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then Christ came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, saw a tumult, those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. They ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. And he took the hand of the child and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Kind of hard to know sometimes why Jesus would do something of great import and then tell people don't spread the word. You'd think the gospel going out would be benefited, but he probably knew they were going to spread the word even though he told them not to. In Luke 9 and verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We too are disciples of Christ, and we've been sent to all the world. So where is the gift of healings today? Ask any minister who performs anointing for those who are sick. God routinely works healings through the ministry that way, but he also allows many other brethren to bear their weaknesses and trials. But thankfully, God promises in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we have promises that God is on our side. Through it all, there are many brethren who have gifts of healing, and these would be through comfort, service, giving of themselves, their resources, potluck foods, meals, and they can nurse the sick. Seek out these people and learn from their examples, and you can be a messenger of healing of the sick if you can go and do some of the same things that these people do. Gift of the Spirit number 5, working of miracles. Christ went about working miracles, even raising the dead. He walked on water. He turned water into wine. He reached out beyond his own time and place and healed people, as we have seen. In one example, Jesus calms a storm here. We read about it in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The days of such dramatic miracles may not be with us today, but might they soon return? John chapter 14, verse 12. There is an assurance and a promise here. John 14 and verse 12, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And the Spirit is able to come back and help and empower people. And who knows, there may be days come when we'll see people that can go about and calm the winds and command them to be calm and raise up little Tabithas that are lying dead in their bed. And we just look for those times. We should look forward and expect these greater works. Gift number 6, prophecy. From Vine's Dictionary, prophetuo, a Greek word in Strong's 4395, to be a prophet, to prophesy, is used with the primary meaning of telling forth the divine counsels. Prophecy in tongues here. 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the entire church. And that's what we're looking for. Today our gift of prophecy in tongues comes mostly in the form of language skills. There are many ministers and brethren blessed with the gift of speaking several languages, Spanish, Russian, Portuguese, other languages. They are a great asset to the work of God. I invite you to delve into another language and expand your usefulness to the church if you get time and have an opportunity to study something new. Now, gift number 7 of 9, discerning of spirits. This world is teeming with unseen spirits in and around us all. If we could see, there's probably angels in the corners and wings spread over us. We must discern where and how they manifest themselves. Psalm 104:4 talks about who makes his angels spirits, his ministers, a flame of fire. Ephesians 6, verse 12 reminds us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. One useful example about discerning spirits from the Old Testament, I refer you to 2 Chronicles 18, verse 20. 2 Chronicles, there in the Old Testament, 18 and verse 20. Micaiah versus Ahab. And then a spirit came forward and stood before the Eternal and said, I will persuade him. And Eternal said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And Eternal said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. So I remind you to beware of lying spirits. We must ask for the gift of the Spirit to discern spirits. Is this a lying spirit that's been sent to us to tell us in a great majority to do something that God is against God's will and law, and we'll need to discern that. 2 Corinthians 11. Here in 2 Corinthians, we have warnings about false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You can readily see the ability to discern spirits is very important. John 14:7, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you and can protect us from these unseen wrong spirits. And in John 4 and verse 24, we have the promise, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Hebrews 13:2. And what about the spirit angels? We have a new booklet that just arrived in the last week or so from Home Office, Angels, God's Messengers and Spirit Army. That booklet alone is worth an entire sermon, so I encourage you to read it soon. Hopefully it's arrived in your mailbox, or will be soon. Interestingly, there are some personal stories of angelic encounters. I'll just read one of them here in page 44. Help for two stranded women and six children. A friend and I were on the way home and taking six children swimming when the station wagon we were in had a blowout. It was during a very busy rush hour, and my friend managed to maneuver the vehicle into a hard-to-reach spot alongside the highway. What would we do? One of the children started praying. The next thing we knew, a man showed up and offered to change the tire. Curiously, he apologized for taking so long to get to us. He started putting on the spare but saw that it was flat. He left and returned a short while later and put the spare on, but said the inner core of the tire was cut and we shouldn't travel far on it. We offered him money, but he refused it. As we drove away, we looked back and the man was gone. We stopped as soon as we found a place to repair the tire, and sure enough, it was damaged on the inside exactly as he said. To this day, we're sure this kind man was an angel sent to help us out of our difficult situation. So as we discern spirits, there are angels sent to help and protect us. The last two gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. We'll handle these two as one since they are so closely intertwined. These signs, Matthew 16:18, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. Let's review the passage we started with at the introduction of today's message, there from Acts 2. I'll go back and read the whole passage here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, Acts 2, 1, verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And here's the part I didn't read at the opening. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And there were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, whose dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, Joni, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. And we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. These people, the Galileans, the apostles and disciples, were talking in their own natural language, and all these diverse peoples from the other countries were hearing in their natural language. Certainly a great miracle here was worked. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Interpretation of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32, I'd like to remind everyone that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So, speaking in tongues does not mean somebody stands up and speaks out in strange gibberish, and they don't even know what they are saying. We can't understand it. But rather, speaking in tongues is either somebody who has a gift of a foreign language, or that God is working a miracle where we speak our own native tongue and they hear in their native tongue. So the speaker in tongues understands what is being uttered. One final caution here. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Talking about the wonders of the gifts of God here. And so somebody might say, "Didn't I display all the 9 gifts of the Spirit?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So it's not enough just to do things that seem to be grandiose and draw attention to yourself. In the mind of brethren and other people, but we need to have Christ behind us. "I will never knew you, never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So even if we have these gifts, we cannot use them to advance our own personal image and power. And in conclusion, with all these gifts in mind, what can we and should we do today? Use the ones you possess and seek out the others through fellowship with our brethren. Take time to assess who has what gift. Discuss with them your fellow members. Ask if you see a need that someone else might be gifted to help. Offer your own gifts to friends and loved ones for their benefit. Maybe we can't have all the gifts ourselves, but together we can share them all. Remember the gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. There's the wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecies, discernment of spirit, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Where can we put all these to work? Think about them, talk about them, pray about them. They're gifts from God. Are we humble enough to open them and use them today? Have a good Sabbath, brethren, today and tomorrow.